Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For decades, the Municipal Electric Department of Kirkwood was a reliable source of funding for the city. It brought in so much money that in 2017, it loaned millions of dollars to help build the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center, which features a 530-seat auditorium, a black box theater, and indoor and outdoor event spaces. But last October, city leaders revealed that the electric department had a major budget problem, a deficit exceeding $15 million. It was a shock to residents who were facing a considerable rate hike. It also raised questions about how such an historically stable department could be in a hole so deep, and whether there'd be accountability for public servants who'd been responsible for managing and overseeing the department. Journalist Mike Fitzgerald's investigation into these questions is the subject of his latest piece, a story commissioned by the River City Journalism Fund that's titled How a $15.6 million Deficit Led to a Reckoning for Kirkwood's Electric Department. And he joins us now. Mike, great to have you back on the show again.
It's wonderful to be back.
And along with us is a Kirkwood resident, Jack Kinsella. Jack has lived in Kirkwood since 2011 and works as an accountant. Jack, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So this announcement about the deficit was a different kind of October surprise. How was it revealed, Mike?
It was revealed during a city council meeting in which the mayor, Liz Gibbons, announced that they would have to raise rates to replenish depleted reserves. Then she made the additional announcement that not only $4 million in reserves from the electric department had been wiped out, but $9 million from the general fund, which led to a lot of questions. How could that have been possible?
So this deficit, and when it was uncovered, what was known about that at that time?
A lot was known, but the city council kept quiet about it. They first found out about this during a secret emergency meeting held August 29th, 2025. The meeting was called with just 1 hour's notice for all the council members. They were all let in, and they learned the shocking news that the city was on the verge of financial calamity. And that's not an overstatement, a calamity, because of the rapid erasure of their reserves because of this electric grid capitalization program. Basically, they're upgrading their electric grid under the leadership of Mark Petty, then the director of the electric department. But shockingly, he decided to ramrod 7 years worth of capitalization of upgrades into a 2-year period. He didn't tell anyone about this.
This was all unauthorized.
Unauthorized, unbudgeted. He was awarding millions of dollars in no-bid contracts and flagrant violation of the city's own ordinances. Also shockingly, the former city manager, Russell Hawes, apparently was not monitoring any of this. He told the council during this secret emergency meeting that he just didn't find out about till mid-June. That's his story, okay? So they had an emergency meeting, but they kept it secret until October.
So, Jack, when did this come to light for you, this meaning, the announcement by the city council?
Yeah, well, how I found out is somebody forwarded me a newsletter that one of the council members, Al Reinecker, who is no longer on the city council, published a newsletter to his constituents. And in that newsletter, he talked about how Kirkwood's finances are a complete mess. And Al was a he was a CEO of a pipeline company locally here. Has a background in business and is kind of a no-nonsense gentleman. And when I started reading it, my jaw dropped because I'm like, how can all of this have happened, you know?
And this coming from the perspective of someone who's an accountant.
Yeah. They violated, there's a principle of accounting called internal control. And those are all the tools available for how you make sure the organization is meeting its goals and objectives. And they violated very many of those principles of internal control, like bank. They didn't get financial statements for how long, Mike?
20 months. Yeah. So you got to, there's two critical issues here. First off, Russell Hawes, for reasons that yet to be discerned, decided not to share financial reports with the city council, monthly financial reports. He just stopped doing it. He claimed that they were migrating to a new accounting system. Some people questioned that. Within a couple weeks, Mark Petty, the electric director, went on this binge of unbudgeted, no-bid contract awarding. And was there a connection? You know, was this a coincidence? Only a forensic audit or a law enforcement investigation will be able to determine that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people that we're talking about here, there have been a number of names mentioned, but Mark Petty spent 20 years as the utility director, and Russell Hawes' tenure as the chief administrative officer for the city was quite lengthy as well. It's strange then that this misspending happened in the last 20 months of Petty's tenure. So, I mean, this is not a case of mismanagement over a long period of time.
It was a very short time. It compressed.
How out of the blue was this?
It was very out of the blue. I mean, Petty was spent 21 years as head of Detroit's Public Lighting Agency. Then he came here in Kirkwood in 2006. Apparently, he knew the rules. He knew how to stay within the boundaries. He knew you have any contract over $15,000 or above had to receive city council approval. He was complying with all that. And then suddenly, in the beginning of 2024, he went, for lack of a better term, rogue.
Mm-hmm.
And he started awarding contracts to select vendors. And the city council members, some were hearing bits and pieces of this, and they were deeply frustrated that they just didn't know what was going on. Then lo and behold, on August 29th, their worst fears were a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is just Russell Hawes, who had been there for a long time, he admitted he wasn't monitoring this, and no one can understand why he would not monitor this.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
They were both given severance packages to leave. Even though they were fired, they were given severance packages.
Well, the thing is, the city council, the mayor, Liz Gibbons, and other city council members have caught a lot of flack from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for misidentifying the terms of their exit. They said they retired. Post-Dispatch, in their headline, said these city leaders lied, when in fact they were fired, but they did receive a severance package of, in Hawes's case, nearly $290,000, and in the case of Mark Petty, $112,500, per the terms of their employment contracts.
Mm-hmm. What were the reactions of residents? In the 15% hike, that is not a small...
No, because in 2022, there was a 33% hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think most people had no idea of the situation, but when you hit them in their pocketbook with a 15% increase, they all kind of went, what?
So how did city leaders then respond to...
Well, for one thing, you know, the thing about local government is it's supposed to be nonpartisan. You know, it affects directly your quality of life with how much you pay in taxes, the quality of the schools, the quality of the streets. And so the city tried to, for lack of a better term, gaslight people into believing that no one was really responsible. They kept blaming electricity spikes. They kept blaming weather events and inflation. They would never say that actual human beings caused these problems and how they could get away with this. You got to remember, Kirkwood does not have its own electric generation. They buy electricity from Ameren and other
wholesalers,
mm-hmm. and then sell on the retail market to its 10,000 customers. But the city was not handling it well. They thought if they could just spend this, that, you know, no mistakes were made, nothing to see here, and everyone will forget about it. But that's not been the case, not at all.
You know, Kirkwood is the only municipality in St. Louis County that owns its own electrical distribution system and their water department. And there's issues with the water department as well.
See, I mean, there's a lot of problems. If we want to talk about this in terms of the big picture, it's the fact that under the previous mayor, Tim Griffin, there's a real sense of entitlement that they could spend money any way they want. completely oblivious to the wishes of voters. So they spent $30 million building Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. At the same time, they're going through this massive electricity grid upgrade for $33 million. So they're going deeper and deeper into debt. The truth of the matter is they use the electric department as a slush fund to plug holes in other parts of the budget, but also do things under the radar, do financial transactions under the radar, as I found. And they're trying to make KPAC a success. They're trying to create a theater district, and they're pouring good money after bad into something that probably is a boondoggle,
to
be honest with you.
And KPAC is that Kirkwood Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, that was the dream of Tim Griffin to start a theater district. On paper, it's not a bad idea, but no one ever figured out a way to make it self-sustaining, just like with the trolley in U-City. Mm-hmm. Nice idea, but it's a money loser. So basically it's become the tail that wags the dog. Uh-huh.
Jack, what were some of the things that you were hearing from residents about the way that Kirkwood's money was being spent, even before this revelation?
Well, most residents were unaware because the council and other officials were not transparent. It was caught under the, nobody knew about it.
Right.
And then when it started, the canary in the coal mine
mm-hmm.
was the downgrading of Kirkwood's debt by Moody's.
And it was a downgrade of two levels?
Yeah, it went from AA1 to AA3,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
which is a big deal. They tried to spin it as, oh, no big deal.
Yeah.
No, it's a very big deal.
Yeah, and so Moody's, uh-huh. after they looked at things, they said, we don't like what's going on. But again, they kind of tried to brush it off.
Well, and one of the reasons Moody's downgraded was the lack of internal controls. And it's like, well, one of the reasons I wrote my story is how could these well-established internal controls be bypassed? Because Baldwin, Chesterfield, other towns don't have these problems. Why Kirkwood? Well, for one thing, Mark Petty, just shockingly enough, again, had utter unfettered control over the electric department budget of $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Total control. Was he doing that on behest of someone else? I don't know. But that was as a result of their own internal report. And there was no monitoring. And so I guess we got to get to the crux of this. Was there fraud or embezzlement or other criminal conduct? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have news to report.
Yes, and we're going to save that for after our break. And it has to do with something that you brought up earlier, which is a forensic audit.
Yeah.
So, yes, we'll go to that quick break. And when we come back, we'll pick up with this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with investigative journalist Mike Fitzgerald and Kirkwood resident Jack Kinsella. Mike's latest piece for the River City Journalism Fund digs into the Kirkwood Electric Department's $15.6 million deficit. That piece is at our website. That's stlpr.org. Now, before the break, we were talking about some breaking news. Mike, break it here.
Okay, sure. I was at the day-long retreat that the city council did for the first time this morning to talk about the next budget. And one of the things they dealt with was hiring a outside firm to conduct a forensic audit to determine if there was any criminal wrongdoing associated with this $15.6 million overspending mess, as well as come up with corrective actions. So they're very serious about it. So they agreed to send out an RFP for tomorrow to see what kind of auditing firms would be interested. Now, this is extremely significant because a few months ago, I would not have thought they would do this.
Why is that?
Because there just seemed to be a mindset of we're just going to move on and we're not going to you know, admit fault or apologize. They even have not even issued an apology to the ratepayers who are bearing the financial cost of this mess that they had nothing to do with.
And
so they're under intense pressure to regain their credibility. And the forensic audit and even the state auditor coming in, which is also a strong possibility, is one way to do that.
Right. Jack?
Mike contacted me because I had written an article, a letter to the editor for the Kirkwood Webster Times, which called for a forensic audit because I just said things don't add up. There's something deeply wrong. And we are now beginning to see the movement towards that.
Right. Yeah. And what would a forensic audit involve?
A deep investigation and looking for bad accounting practices and also potential criminal activities. And I'm not saying that happened, but I think residents want to be assured that things are found out. And they also, the last part of that, to kind of close the loop, would recommendations on here's what you should be doing, because you know Kirkwood's, you know, we're the city itself. Mike, what's the total level of debt that Kirkwood is in?
About 116 million.
116.
Yeah, that's about $70 million in loans, and then the rest is in interest they have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a hole they've dug for themselves. Is for whatever reason they decided to take on a lot of debt. You know, their budget only 10 years ago was $60 million. This year it's almost $130 million. And that's just amazing. And that's because of the debt they've taken on for things like the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. They're buying a warehouse to turn into a public works headquarters, and that's a whole nother can of worms.
Right, right.
and they got the aquatic center they gotta redo, the hockey rink. Oh, and by the way, the water department. If they hang on to that, it's gonna cost them $90 million to repair their old leaky pipes. And no one wants to do that.
So the hanging on to it part, Jack, you would like to see the electric department and the water department leave control of the city.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, because I think the priority for the mayor and the city council is to get things in order because it's such a mess. And we need cash. And two quick sources of cash would be selling those two utilities. We give up local control. I understand that. We didn't have control to begin with, okay? And so, and I've even heard people say, I like our water department employees. Well, that's nice, okay? But we had offers from both Ameren and Missouri American to purchase those utilities. And they guaranteed that they would, like in the water department's case, they would retain all the employees. So, you know, I don't see what the real downside is because the city needs to focus inside and not running two businesses that no other municipality in St. Louis County has.
Yeah. Mike, do you have any insight into what the city council might see as the downside to selling off?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons for having your own local utilities, especially an electric utility. There's over 50 cities in Missouri that have their own electric utilities, such as City of Columbia, or you have electric co-ops like the Boone County Electric Co-op. But the key is stewardship. You got to have people willing to do the right thing. Under previous administrations, the electric department was, like I said, a slush fund. And they were pulling money out for all kinds of unrelated purposes while borrowing money for other things. And it's just a culture of entitlement.
But
owning your own electric company has a lot of built-in advantages. I mean, you can make sure that your people get served, that you control what kind of energy you're using, what price you're paying, but you got to have the stewardship. And as events have shown, maybe they don't deserve to run an electric department. Maybe they should give that up because they just can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a fear of rate increases, but rates are going up.
They're guaranteed, yeah.
Yeah, whether it's Kirkwood Electric or Ameren, rates are going to go up. Same with water.
And as I understand, there was a nearly 15% electric rate hike that took place November 1st, and a 35% fuel charge as well.
Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be temporary.
Right. It's going to be indefinite. I mean, probably forever.
How does this affect the day-to-day experiences of Kirkwood residents.
Well,
your story covers...
Yeah, and I mean, even people, I mean, let's face it, even wealthy people are facing a cash crunch. I mean, just because you live in a $1 million house doesn't mean the money's flowing. We're all facing all kinds of economic pressures, the high cost of fuel because of the war in Iran. Everything's the tariffs, everything has made things much more expensive. We saw that over the 4th of July weekend. Some fireworks shows were canceled because they just couldn't afford fireworks. So people are feeling the pinch big time, and it's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're in for a cycle of more and more rate increases, as well as reductions in city services, because they've dug themselves in such a deep hole.
You know, Kirkwood is thought of as a nice, wholesome community where everybody is, you know, eating apple pie. And it is a diverse city, okay? And there are people that are on fixed incomes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or low income that, you know, these kinds of increases impact them much more than most other residents of Kirkwood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to say we're on a doom cycle, but the trajectory looks really bad, because as more and more people stop paying their electric bills because they can't afford them, we're going to have to raise rates on everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it just keeps the vicious cycle going.
So it does sound like there was this culture of asking for things, not getting them, not pushing. There's responsibility on the part of city council members.
Right.
Then there's accountability, too, for two of the figures who are named in your story. And this is, to clarify, this is former utility director Mark Petty and Russell Haas, the former city chief administrative officer. Did you have any opportunity to talk with them?
I tried talking to them. I sent them registered letters, emails, phone calls. They're not talking. I think also we got to look at the city council's role in this. They weren't getting financial reports after 30 days. Why didn't they fight for the reports? They kept that completely hidden. There were some members of the council who on their own tried to get these reports, but there was no, I don't know, some members of that council truly were afraid to ask, or they were told that they shouldn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
And others were just big fans of Russell Hawes and Mark Petty and trusted him implicitly and just thought everything should be fine.
Who hired Russell Hawes? Do you know?
And the
mayor. Who was the mayor?
The mayor at the time was Art McDonald, I think.
Okay.
Griffin came in, served for 8 years. So it was the mayor before him, Art McDonald. Okay, and so that was like 2012, okay? And then Petty was hired in 2006 after a rather controversial tenure in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. So with this audit, you know, based on what you've heard, Mike, from the Kirkwood City Council and their plan to, you know, to put out an RFP, I mean, what's the timeline realistically when?
Yeah, there's a lot of details. Number one, the city staff is very understaffed. But these forensic audits can be very time consuming. I heard a time frame of at least a year. And they're going to have to interview a lot of people. And the thing about a forensic audit, you don't just do a sample of documents. You look at all the documents. If there's an invoice for 50 dual phase electric transformers, you got to make sure those all came in. You just don't take their word for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so expensive.
Kirkwood bought how many transformers?
Well, they bought like 111 or sitting in a lot.
Yeah,
they spent $1 million. There's a lot of unusual expenditures. Like they spent $300,000 renting a diesel generator they never used while they had a permanent generator. This is for the K-PAC, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent $230,000 on another generator that sat in a warehouse for literally 2 years. As far as I know, it's still sitting there. So they spent a lot of money in ways that you cannot justify.
Yeah. Jack, as a resident, what are you looking for next? Like, what would satisfy you?
I want somebody to take responsibility for what happened. You know, bad things happened. I don't really know what, because they've kept it from us.
Mm-hmm.
But once we find out what happened, you know, I don't know what will happen, but I do want people to be held accountable for it.
Would you consider moving somewhere else if things are not taken care of?
No.
No. Well,
to be quite honest with you,
there's a lot of legitimate questions, like the auditor. a company called Sickage. How come they didn't catch this? When the city did an after action report in June, and they claimed they found 10 serious deficiencies that enabled the overspending to occur. None of these deficiencies were ever reported by the auditor. That raises a lot of questions. How hard was the auditor looking?
And they had been the audit firm for the city for a long time.
Yeah,
and one of the principles of internal controls is to periodically change auditors, get fresh eyes to look at things.
Sure.
But there were a lot of irregular practices going on. Mm-hmm. I can't understand how the auditors didn't know about that.
So as we close, this is not a story that is going to end anytime soon, unfortunately. What is it that you're hoping to talk with us about the next time you're on, Mike?
I want to find out more about the skullduggery and shenanigans going on. There's a lot that's unanswered about why these highly paid public servants did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. But there's a lot of things I'm hearing about that cross the boundaries into illegal activity. I'm going to check that out.
Right. Mike Fitzgerald is an investigative journalist and Kirkwood resident. Jack Kinsella also lives in Kirkwood. Mike's story was commissioned by the River City Journalism Fund. You can find it on our website. That's stlpr.org. Thank you both for joining us today.
It was a great pleasure being here.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STLPR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the newsday, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.